Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
I got a question for you. that's good. It might not be the right one, but anyway, let me ask you a question. How many been dealing with a little bit of discouragement? Come on, let me lift your hands really high. I want to see this. Okay. You're in the right place. I want to talk about being of good courage. Do you know that being discouraged is a choice? I know we don't want to hear that. But it can be a choice because how many know that years earlier you probably dealt with more of it than you do now because you're able to deal with it a little bit better? Amen. That's because you're growing and you're learning to deal with it through the Lord, okay? When we talk about discouragement, we're talking about an emotion that every one of us deal with from time to time. I deal with it. We all deal with it. And what causes it, and how do we get out of it? How do you get out of it? How many have ever woken up in the morning and you felt just blasé? Yeah. I woke up like that this morning, and I thought, I got to go pray. Went down and prayed and talked to the Lord, and when I got out of there, I was fine. It's the same thing that we deal with. There's just sometimes you get hit with different things at different times. And everybody in the Bible, even the scriptures, we see great men such as Moses, David, Elijah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and others who at times they were discouraged, they were in despair, and they were in depression. Even Paul talked about it. None of us are immune from it until we get to heaven. But down here, you're going to deal with it, and we got to know, how do I deal with this? I don't want to be in this situation. And we know that there's seasons that it seems like there's no end to the season, but there is. I found out there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's light. I see the light. So let's look at Psalms 42:9. David, when you read the Psalms, David is one of those guys that he'll start out focusing on him, but pretty soon it turns to focus on God. Read the Psalms. Everyone you read, David's talking about what he's feeling, what he's going through, and he's just crying out to God. But then he goes back to God. But God, through every Psalm, even if it's halfways or at the end, but David sometimes got his focus on self. And we'll talk a little bit more. But it says, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? How many have ever felt like that? Why? Have you ever felt sometimes, where is God in the midst of what I'm going through? The psalmist was definitely discouraged. But you'll notice a word in there. It's the word mourning. It's a Hebrew word that means to be dark. Have you ever been in a dark place? It refers to the darkening of the sky due to a storm or the total absence of light. And I'll tell you what, some of you may have been in places of your life that you thought, where is the light? It feels so dark. It feels so gloomy. God, where are you? And there isn't a person in this place that has not been through that or will not ever go through that because we live in this world. It speaks of mourning over the loss of a loved one or other such sadness in our lives. Mourning is another word for discouragement. It's another word for discouragement, which is hopelessness and depression that can really cripple us if we allow it. The psalmist is discouraged in the face of persecution by his enemies. It seems like everywhere David went, he was being persecuted by Saul. There wasn't any place he could go where there was no persecution. Here's a shepherd boy that was anointed king when he was a little boy. And it was years later before he became king. But during that whole process, he went through everything and anything that was dark. And you think to yourself, God, his destiny was to be a king. Now, if he's going to be a king, why would he have to go through all this? I'll tell you what, when you have a destiny on your life for God, don't think that the enemy's just going to sit down and just let you go and just be free from you and, well, I'm not going to bother you anymore. Are you kidding me? That's the enemy's whole thing, is to deter you from your destiny of what God has called you to do. But the psalmist is discouraged. But David knew how to cry out to the Lord. Now, there's another word for discouragement that expresses the same concept, and that's masas. It means to melt or dissolve. Remember reading sometime in the scripture, it says, and our hearts melted. That's what that word means. It's another word for discouragement. It means to melt or dissolve, to faint with fatigue, fear, or grief. Discourage, to melt away. I like to claim it this way. It's that you, it seems like the life has just been sucked out of you. It's been taken out of you. And you feel like hopelessness. You feel like, what am I going to do? What do I do? And you're so, feel so discouraged and hopeless, it's even hard for you to pray and to talk to God. How many know what I'm talking about? You get so down that sometimes it's hard to get the words out to talk to God. Psalms 22:14 says, I'm poured out like water. Now, I'm going to read this, but if you read this psalm, this is talking about what happens to Jesus. The psalmist is declaring a prophetic word that this is happening to Jesus, okay? But it's also David feels the same way. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is softened with anguish and melted down within me. My strength is dried up like the fragment of a clay pottery. And it goes on and on. And this is talking about Jesus, a prophetic word. Now, when you think about that, whenever Jesus went through the most horrific death and torture that anybody could ever go through. And it was so horrific that it was more than just physical to him. All the weight of the sin of the world was on him. He was rejected. He was despised. He was beaten. He was bruised beyond recognition. All his joints were pulled out of joint. And he went through this. Even Jesus' heart was discouraged. But he also knew it was the destiny that he had to take for you and us, for all of us. He had to do it. And the psalmist is talking about that my heart is like wax. It's softened. It's melted away. It means the courage has just been taken out of you. Your strength has been drained out of you. This person, his heart is melting. They're losing courage. They're just sitting down and wallowing in despair and depression. And when Jesus cried out to the Father, he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? You talk about discourage and despair. How many have ever felt like, where is everybody when I'm going through this? Sometimes you go through it alone. But God is there with you. Amen? Now, let's talk about the 10 spies. Returning from their scouting of the land of Canaan, Moses told the 10 spies to go into the land to check it out because it was the land that God had already given them, the promised land. And so you had 10 go, and only 2 gave a good report. Out of the 12 spies, only 2 gave a good report. Returning from scouting the land of Canaan, 2 of them gave a negative report. 10 of them, sorry, forgive me. 10 of them gave a negative report. 2 gave a positive report. Now, let me show you how discouragement can cause somebody else to go in discouragement. That's why our words are so very important. These spies were impressed by 4 things. We call them the 4 G's: grapes, giants, great cities, and grasshoppers. These are things they talked about, these things. As a result, according to the story of Deuteronomy, they became discouraged. So let's look at Deuteronomy 1:28. To what are we going up to? See, there's the words already of discouragement. You know, what's the use? Have you ever been in a place where it just seemed like everything's going wrong and you thought, what's the use? Why even try? You feel like quitting, you feel like giving up. Well, that's what happened here. And so it says this: our brethren have made our hearts melt. Ooh. Saying, words are very powerful. The people are bigger and taller than we are. The cities are great and fortified to the heavens. And moreover, we have seen the giant-like sons of Anakim there. Now, it's bad enough when you're already discouraged, but it's even worse when there's more discouraged brought in because somebody else. Amen? Even some of you could be on the top of the world, and it only takes that one person to come in. Well, let me tell you how it really is. Yeah. Well, you just don't understand. You're just going to have to go through this. No, I don't have to go through anything the way you go through it. I serve a big God. And so they came back and they gave a negative report and got the people all riled up and discouraged. Their hearts melted. That means the courage was ripped out of them when God had given them the courage to go into the promised land and declare it, claim it, and let it be theirs. Why were they discouraged? You know why? Because they forgot about the 5th G, God. They forgot about God. They simply did not really believe that God could bring him into the land. God gave him. He said, it's all yours. God has given us precious promises that are all ours, but it's funny how people will talk you out of the promises and bring discouragement in your life. How many know what I'm talking about? There's people that will bring you down when you're up and bring discouragement in your life because they just are discouraged themselves, so they're going to bring more and try to get you discouraged. Even though the all-powerful, sovereign God of the universe had promised them the land, and even though he had miraculously delivered them from bondage, they still didn't believe. There they stood, as it were, at the very gates of the promised land, and they would not go in because of 10 negative guys. Talk about putting a damper on your party. Write this down. What is the real cause then of discouragement? Unbelief. You know, I got thinking about this and I thought, isn't it true? Unbelief. Remember when Jesus came to the disciples and they were going across the lake and a storm came up and they were freaking out? He's there sleeping, enjoying his nap. And they're freaking. And they go wake him up and said, don't you care we're going to die? That's sometimes I've told the Lord. Don't you even care what I'm going through, Lord? You don't understand. Yeah. You just don't understand, God. I could do that because I've done it. Yeah. You'll wake Jesus out of a nap. Leave the guy alone. Let him sleep. He's not bothered by it. He probably knew it was storming. He just snuggled in a little bit more. Oh, this is comfortable. I wonder if he really was going to figure out what they were going to do, how they were going to react. Master, don't you care that we're going to? Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and the storm. And he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." Now let me show you something. There's a difference between unbelief and there's a difference between doubt. You can have doubts go through your mind and you can either cast them down and speak positive, or you can entertain them. Unbelief is a choice. I choose not to believe. Doubt doesn't mean you don't believe. It means that you're back and forth, swayed, you know. You believe it, but you're having a hard time accepting it by faith and walking it out. But still, unbelief is lack of faith, because you wouldn't be in unbelief and making a choice if you had faith. So, unbelief is a decision. The children of Israel made a decision that they were not going to go, because their hearts were melted. They just gave up. Mark 6:6, let's look at this. And he, Jesus, marveled because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in him. Do you think the disciples were discouraged when the storm hit? Yeah. Fear turned to discouragement. And discouragement turned to lack of faith. Jesus already gave them authority over everything. All they had to do was, Peter could have stood up and said, "Storm, shut up, peace, be still." Because the great God of the universe was sleeping there, and he would have backed it up even in his sleep. Amen? The authority was there. Why did Apostle Paul write to the Galatians the word, "Let us not be weary in well-doing"? Let us not be weary in well-doing. You know why? Because we lean toward getting weary in well-doing. All of us do. You burn out. You get weary. And when we do that, we lean toward discouragement and giving up. One of the most vivid illustrations of discouragement is found in the Epistle of the Hebrews. Why? Because the Christian Jews there were being persecuted by the other Jews. The Christian Jews were being persecuted by the law Jews, the ones that weren't born again. They were really making their life miserable. How many have ever been persecuted by family? Yeah. I'll tell you what. When I left my denomination, I was pretty much wrote off. But I found God. And you know what? The persecution increased and increased on these Christians. They were therefore tempted. It says in Scripture, they were tempted to look back at the old religion and return to its now meaningless symbols and rituals. Sometimes you can get persecuted so much that you just quit, get discouraged, and you start agreeing with them and going back to the way you were before. And they tried and they tried to get me to go back to my church. And I just couldn't. You know why? I had a taste of Jesus. And it tasted good. It said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And it tasted good. Religion didn't taste good anymore. And I'll tell you what, it changed my life. Now, listen when I say this. My family was strong Roman Catholic. And there's good people in every church. There's Christians in every church. Don't misunderstand me, but it wasn't where I needed to be. God had called me into the ministry. He called me out and called me in. And you talk about being persecuted and disowned? Yeah. That was the hardest time of my life that I ever went through. But you know what? And there was God. Hey, son, I'll take care of you. I got your back. All right, Lord. Let's do this together. And you know what? We did it together. These Christians were tempted to compromise certain truths of Christianity, such as they were even trying to demote Christ to being just an angel. Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 4 to 13. Trying to demote Jesus as just an angel. And you hear people say it all the time. Well, Jesus was just a good man. He's a good man, good teacher, good rabbi. The cults will tell you that. He was just a good man. No, he was God. In short, in their discouragement, they were tempted not just to give up the single battle, people, but they just about gave up the whole war. Now, I know we have battles in life through discouragement, but not enough to get you to quit. Never quit. Discouragement is doubting God's promises. It's doubting God's promises. Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, and the others had times of discouragement. But thankfully, they didn't stay there. They didn't stay in that condition. To have victory over discouragement, we must embrace four principles. Number one, write this down. We must stop looking at ourselves and start looking at God. When I start looking at self, what was me? I'm not focusing on God. Psalm 13:1, oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with this anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will the enemy have the upper hand? Whoa. Turn and answer me, O Lord. My God, restore the sparkle of my eyes or I will die. Whoa. Do you think he's discouraged? I think so. In Psalms, the psalmist a lot of times was focusing on himself and was self-occupied. He was concerned with his feelings, his plans, and his questions. And we do that too. When we concern ourselves with self, it will sooner or later bring discouragement. Many want to speak of self-esteem and self-image, and those things are good. But what happens when even your self-esteem gets bruised? What happens? What happens is that we fall hard because self is not enough. Our confidence must not lie in self, but in God. We got to keep our focus on Him. Because when our focus is on Him, discouragement isn't that easy to find you. But that's what causes discouragement. We get our focus on ourselves. What about me? You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't have it as bad as I do. And we begin to bring focus on ourselves instead of say, hey, stop it. Self, you're going to talk to God. Remember when David said, oh, my soul, why are you disquieted within me? Why are you depressed, oppressed, and discouraged? And then he started to say, you know, look towards God. Focus on Him. Psalms 5:3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. We need to demonstrate Christ's esteem. Not self-esteem only, but Christ's esteem. Because when you have Christ's esteem, you have self-esteem. Let us be challenged. We cannot become discouraged as long as we're leaning upon the Lord and are becoming conformed to His image. How can we have the victory over discouragement? Number two, let's write this down. We must stop looking at the past and start looking at the future. If you live in your past, it will rob you of your future. Well, Pastor, you don't understand where I've been. Let's get out of where you've been. Let's go to where you need to be. Amen? All of us need to get out of where we've been and focus on where we need to be. Beloved, listen. The past is the past. Let it go. It doesn't own you. Don't let it own you. I'm going to tell you a story. Caleb's fiance, he met, man, we just took her in. Love her to pieces, loves God, wants to serve God, loves children, that's her calling. When Caleb and her first met, you know, he met her online, the Christian mingle group, whatever, and he met her. And she showed a list of the things she wanted in a man, Christian, godly man. It was a whole list. She showed it to me. And so she was praying, and before they met for their first date, she was praying, God, if this is you, let this be the right person. God has a way of bringing people in your life if you'll just wait. I know sometimes waiting gets long, but just wait on the Lord. And so when they met, they hit it off. So as they were dating, she loved the kids. She just wants to just be a part of their life. She spends time with them. She plays games with them. I mean, they just love her. Just love her. Well, while they were dating, all of a sudden, her dad was home. Caleb met her dad and got to know him a little bit. He's out of town all the time. And anyway, her dad all of a sudden had a massive stroke, heart attack, and died. Mikkel says she's never been close to her dad. He was always distant, and he was hard on her brother. Sometimes he'd beat him up, whatever. Wasn't a very good relationship with her brother. Dallas had forgiven him, just forgave him. He died. He's gone. All of a sudden, his cell phone, there's a call on the cell phone, and it's from another family he has that they never knew about. The daughters are 20 years old. He had an affair with this woman years ago, but found out that he has another family. Then you wonder why he was distant with his own family. And so they called on the phone, and they realized who it was. Dad, how you doing? Miss you. Lived in California, and they had moved from California 3 years prior to that. But he was out of town all the time. Well, now we know why. That just shattered her heart and shattered the mother to the place that she was so angry and they didn't even have a funeral. They asked him, what do you want to do with the body? He said, we don't care. We don't want nothing to do with it. That's how angry they were with this whole situation. She had a hard time forgiving her dad. So when she was here, I'd get up in the morning, and she'd get up. Everybody'd be sleeping. I'd make coffee, and we'd sit down, and I started just ministering to her, talking to her about forgiveness. And I said, forgiveness is one thing, but pain is another thing. It's going to take time to get through the pain, and we know. And I said, I'm not saying you haven't forgiven him, but here's the thing. Don't let him own you for the rest of your life. Don't let the past destroy your future. And every morning I'd get up, she'd just cry and cry and cry as I'd minister to her. She said, I'm sorry, I cry a lot. I said, you cry all you want. And I said, I'll be your daddy. Candy and I will love you. we will be there for you, and we will be your parents too. That's a tough situation to get through. Knowing that you have all these feelings because your dad had another family and was abusive to his own family. Sad place to be. Sad place to be. And she would tell me that God, I know he wanted to say something, he wanted to confess something, but all of a sudden he just stopped. And nobody knew about it except one brother. It's the only person that knew about it. I said, you got to, eventually, the past will be the past. It's not, and I said, your dad loved you. And I tried to encourage her. I said, I know he loved you deep down. He was so miserable because of the life that he was leading and the what he was doing. I said, he was one of the most miserable people. And I said, Mikhail, you know he loved you. He just didn't know how to show it because he was so divided and felt so embarrassed and guilty for what he did to the family. He didn't know how to get out of it. But yet he could have. He could have repented. He could have come clean. Even if he'd have lost his family, he still would have had a relationship with God. And he just didn't come clean. And to die in that situation, oh, that's not a good place to be in. Because he's gone, but you have the aftermath that you have to deal with. And she's doing good. The mother's doing really well. She met a godly man and met him at a church. And God is just pulling all the things together. But I said, you gotta forgive. They can still own you from the grave. Don't let them own you. Let your past be your past, and let your future be the blessed part. Why am I saying this? I'm going to tell you something. Because you talk about bringing discouragement. If we keep looking to the past, we will never look to the future. Philippians 3:13 says, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past. And I fastened my heart to the future instead. This is Paul. Paul killed people. He watched them get killed. He was just as guilty as the ones that killed him or put him in prison. And he was on his way to get some more Christians to be killed by Nero or whoever was in charge. And it was Nero at that time, one of the most meanest people that ever lived. It was Adolf Hitler in that time. And God struck him on the Damascus Road and said, hey, why are you fighting against me, Paul? You're kicking against the goads and you're just hurting yourself. So Paul understood about the past. He had to let it go because of what God did in his heart for the future. While we can, and now listen, while we can and we should look at the past for lessons and challenges, we must not live there and be defeated by it. I've learned from my past. We all learn from our past. Amen? But we can't live there. Don't let the devil keep taking you back there, but move on to what God has called you to, a new destiny in him. Satan will try to convince you, try to bring to our memories past failures, and try to convince us that we can never have victory because of them. God wants us to live in the future. That is, he wants us to live according to our hope in him, and to live according to our confidence in him. When you read Psalms 42 and 43, finally, David knew God would defeat the enemies, 43:1. He knew that God would give him strength, 43:2. He knew that God would direct him in verse 3, and he knew that he would give him joy in verse 4. So David understood what it was like to deal with discouragement, but he also knew that God was bigger than his discouragement. Write this down. You need to look to what God is going to do in you and through you. Some of you think that God can never use you because of your past. Wrong. God wants to use you because of where you came from. You can help people that been there, are going through it, and tell them, I understand. I've been there. Let me tell you how to get past that. Number three, we must stop searching for reasons and start resting on the promises. Quit finding excuses why you are where you are and begin to move from there into where you need to be. Amen? I can be really good at excuses. Well, Lord, you know, let's talk, God. God says, all right, what are you going to say to me now? I think God just chuckles at us sometimes. All right, get it out. Come on. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, and we demolish what? Imaginations and every lofty thing that exalts itself against the word of God or the knowledge of God, and subjugate or overpower all reasonings to the obedience of the Messiah. So, any reasoning we got, listen, why we can or we can't, needs to be overpowered by God. 10 times the writer of Psalms 42 and 43 asked why. But you know what? He kept telling God why. But you know what? God never told him why. There's no record whatsoever of God ever saying and answering him. That's why David get upset. God, why are you so silent? Don't you understand? Yeah, he understands. He's waiting for you to acknowledge him and to go after him. It's amazing how often we ask God why. If God told us why at that moment we asked, we still probably wouldn't understand. Romans 1:17 says, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live. And shall live by what? I've got to live by faith. God is a faith God. He does not move outside of the realm of faith. He does not move outside of the realm of this book. These are his promises that we declare. The enemy wants to tell you how bad you are, and God says how good you are because of Jesus. His promises are yes and amen. And it says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. The kindness of God. God's just going to get you. I heard that enough in my earlier years. God doesn't want to get anybody. He wants them to just get him. Just get a hold of him. God just wants to love on them. God just wants to love on them. Don't always trust feelings. Feelings are okay. Now trust me. Inner urgings are your own thoughts and ideas and opinions. But always trust what God says in his word. Always trust his word. That's faith. We do not live by explanations, people. We live by promises that God has given us. Why then is it so hard for us to simply trust in his promises? The world says we got to have proof. God says, trust me. You can't see it, but it doesn't mean it that it's not there. Amen? By faith. Last point, number four. We must be strong and courageous because of God's strength in us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:6. I like this. God's saying you're going to go into promised land. Bill will be like God coming in and said, Bill, these are all yours. This is your plan, your map. Everything you want is in here. If you will believe this, you can have it. That's hard for us to get a hold of. And it's that simple, but we've been so programmed and grained by the world in our thinking that it's hard for us to believe that. Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you will have them. Speak to the mountain. He says, speak to the mountain. It says, be strong, courageous, and firm. Fear not, nor be in terror before them. Sounds like the IRS. Take this with you when you go. Be strong, courageous, fear not, for the terror of the IRS. I've been in that situation years ago, trust me. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you and will not fail you nor forsake you. That's a promise you can stand on. Amen? We are reminded here of God's promises in Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always with you, even in the midst of the storm. I have a choice. I can either give in to it or give in to God. We are never alone because, write this down, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we also always have God's word with us. The Spirit dwells in you and God's word is with you. Amen. Whenever we faint in despair, whether in depression or collapse and hopelessness, people, the word of God is always there to revive us. Courage, now get this. Courage is not the absence of fear. Rather, courage is the ability and the boldness to do what is required of you even when fear is present. Amen. Isn't that true? Let me say that again. Courage is not the absence of fear. Rather, courage is the ability and the boldness to do what is required of you even when fear is present. Write this next thing down. The word courage actually means boldness and bravery. Boldness and bravery. God told the Israelites to be of good cheer. He said, be of good courage. Read it through all there. They were probably thinking, how can we be courageous? We're the smallest nation around, and all the other nations hate us. Well, the reason they could be courageous is because God was with them. I'll be with you. I won't fail you. I'll be with you. I won't fail you. And God is speaking that to our spirits. No matter what you're facing, Gina, God is with you. He will not fail you. Believe him. Trust him. Speak what God says. Believe that. You don't have to be trapped in your past. Your current circumstances, your mental struggles, the lies that the enemy has spoken to you and over you, or even out of control emotions that want to direct you to be discouraged instead of being encouraged. You don't have to be there. Galatians 6:9, let's look at this. And let us not lose heart. There's that word melting again. Don't lose courage. Don't lose courage. And grow what? And what? The word faint means to just quit. In acting nobly and doing right. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. For in due time, everybody say due time. And at the appointed season, I don't like the season I'm in. People, we got seasons we go through, don't we? Some of you wonder if the season's ever going to quit. My sister loves winter, and I said, you're crazy. I know some of you in here like winter, but I like summer. Some of you like fall. That's good. Fall's good. Spring is okay, but there's nothing like summer. Unless you have snowmobiles, then I like winter. Oh my golly, when we were growing up in high school, my dad had snowmobile in North Dakota. my brother. I mean, North Dakota, you get, we back then we were getting snowbanks 10, 15 feet high. That snowmobile would disappear to get that thing out of there. But I'll tell you what, that's when you loved winter. But when the snowmobile was broke, you're going, where's summer? Yeah. Listen, for in due time and at the appointed season we shall reap. If we do not loosen and relax our what? Our courage and what? And quit. And quit and give up. That's powerful. See, listen. Your due season is here. Your due season's here. 2018 is due season time. We've had some bad seasons, but we got some great seasons coming. Let the past be the past. Bye. And let the future be the future. My past will not make me discouraged because I don't want to think it. It's gone. Isn't that funny how we remember things in our past? And I can't even remember where I put my car keys. That's crazy. Yeah. Candy's my finder. Honey, where's the trash bags? I'm looking all the way down here. She opens up to right there. Oh, you must have moved them. No, I didn't. And the refrigerator. That's a good one. Honey, where's this? It's right in front of me. It's a guy thing. It's like the blinders just go on. We're just, yeah, I'm thinking of the past or something. And she'll walk in, it's right there in front of your eyes. I said, oh, you must have moved it. She just, yeah, right. Oh, my God. Listen, I want you to know today that God is with you, people. You don't have to cave in to fear because of the one who watches over you is greater than anything or anyone can come against you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. What a revelation. The Lord will always come through for us, no matter what. He will always come through. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like on the outside. Know in your heart that God will never leave you nor forsake you through the whole process. Never. The God we serve still requires courage from us. We have to make a decision to trust God in every situation of our life. Doesn't matter. The moment you make this decision, I believe the spirit of courage from the Holy Spirit will come upon us. I believe that. Stepping out. Don't be afraid or dismayed, beloved, because God is with you and he will deliver you from every danger in your life, everything. Don't be discouraged, but be of good courage, Jesus said. Fear not. Fear not. See, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear not. Be of courage. I'm with you. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to be there. Even if you got to go through the process, God is there. And he will get you out every time. Though I walk through the valley, we're not on the mountaintops, there's always the valleys. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, doesn't mean it's death, but it feels like death. Feels like you're going to die. Lord, you don't understand. Just take my life. Take me home. I begged God many times, Lord, I think it's time to come home. And I don't want to die. Just rapture me. Just take me. Just translate me to heaven. God says, not on your life, boy. You've got too much to do. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your great love towards us. We declare that you are the God who fights every battle in our life. We declare that we do not need to be afraid of what the enemy will bring against us in the name of Jesus. We declare that we're courageous and bold in you because we recognize that if you are for us, no one can be against us. We fight on your side because we recognize that you are the winning side. We declare that great boldness and courage flourish on the inside of us right now. Father, we declare that we're surrounded by an entire host of angelic armies that are at our beck and call, who are ready to defend us. You give your angels charge over us, Lord, and you keep us in all your ways. We declare that we will never be overtaken by fear, anxiety, worry, discouragement, or terror in the name of Jesus. We declare that we're full of faith and courage in your holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. So I want to challenge you. Take the choice to be encouraged. Amen. When you feel down, just say, God, you're my encourager. You're my encourager. I refuse to live in the past. I move to the future. I refuse to be discouraged because, Lord, I'm moving out of self and I'm moving into you. Amen. And I'm telling you, that discouragement will get less and less. And when it does, now listen, I'm not saying discouragement's not going to hit. It's going to hit. It hits all the time. But it's what you do with it. I can wallow in it, or I can say, I'm not going down this road. I'm shutting it down. Lord, I don't need this. I need your strength. I thank you for your courage. And go get some courage from God. Go get some courage from God. Get in his word. Get some courage. Get yourself strengthened up. Get in his presence. Get some courage. And that courage will be there. I'm telling you, it will be there. What used to discourage you before doesn't discourage you anymore. How many notice that? That's because you've grown and you've said, no, that's the past. This is my future. Amen.